Have you ever been scrolling on social media and you see this really great dish come up in your timeline? And the first thing you do is you go to the caption to see the recipe, how it's made, what ingredients it's going to take to make that dish. The same thing happens when you see this awesome outfit that someone is wearing. You may run to the caption to see who they're tagging, or, you know, where did they get it from? And the thing that really attracted you to the outfit are things that you're probably not even thinking about. They are the elements of design. We're going to talk about that today, and I'm going to take you on a series over the next few weeks talking about each element of design. You may be like, well, what is an element of design? There are 8 elements of design. Stay tuned while I go over the very first element of design that captures everyone's attention. You're listening to Marketing Adventure, the hub for business, fashion, marketing, and other CTE educators who integrate marketing into the learning experience. I'm your host, Jackie Walker. Each week, I'll cover marketing education concepts, strategies, tips, trends, frameworks, and other information to equip you to connect your classroom to digital natives while cultivating an engaged learning environment. So come on into the room where your favorite beverage, snacks, and even your cell phone are all welcome. Before I begin to dive into the elements of design, I would love to read to you this quote from an American philosopher and psychologist. It reads, "In order to understand the aesthetic in its ultimate and approved forms, one must begin with it in the raw, in the events and scenes that hold the eye and ear." And that's from John Dewey. Quote really connects to what we're talking about when we are talking about the elements of design, because the elements of design consist of 8 different things. Now, if you go online and you look up element of design, you'll probably find a variety of copy that states that it's 6 elements, it's 7 elements, it's all these different elements. Today, I'm going to talk about one of 8, and the 8 elements that I'm going to cover over these next few weeks are color, shape, line, texture, space, form, value, and type. So today's element is color, and I said that this was the one element that all of us are attracted to. When we see that red car or that black outfit or whatever color it is that really captures our attention, it really does something to us. We all have a favorite color, right? Mine is turquoise, teal. When I see that, it's like I want to buy everything that I see in that color. And Lord knows I don't need anything else turquoise in my wardrobe and in some of my furnishings at home. But it's a color that does something to us. It makes us feel good. It makes us confident. It does a lot of different things just based on what the color is. You will learn when you're doing art, when you take an art class, when you're taking graphics, or anything that has to do with creativity and using elements and principles of design, you will find that those span the gamut of various creative industries because they are everywhere. They are everything that we see visually, and even things that we touch and that we feel within clothing, items, and various things. So I want you to think about this to gain an understanding of what elements are as it is related to fashion, accessories, visual things. Elements are the ingredients. I named color, shape, line, texture, space, form, value, and type. Those are ingredients. And those work, the elements work with the principles of design, which we'll talk about at a later time. So I want you to understand that each one of these items or these things are an ingredient to the whole picture of a wardrobe, of a visual display, or a lot of things that we see in the creative elements or the creative world. So as we go forward, just think about that. This is an ingredient. You see color in visual merchandising. You see color in outfits. You see color everywhere. Everything has color. All right. So nothing exists without having color. So let's get into talking about color as an element of design. Now, it's been said that the discipline of learning the power of the elements and formatting them within the principles of design is the responsibility of the designer. So what is color? I mean, we all know what color is. We've talked about color since we were toddlers, right? But what is it really? It's a hue. The quality of an item or an object or a substance with respect to the light that's reflected by the object. So we don't think about color being a reflection. That's a very technical way of thinking about it, but it's a reflection of the light. And it's usually determined visually by measurement of hue, saturation, and brightness of the reflected light. Now that we've gotten that technical definition of color out of the way, what does color do? Well, color does a lot. Color creates the greatest visual impact for customers. That's why it's very key to visual displays, to how planograms on the walls are set up inside of a store. That's why it's very key to social media, businesses that have their color palettes and their brand colors and things of that nature. It's very key because it's a very visually stimulating thing. Colors affect illusions of a size or a shape. That's why women wear black to make themselves look more trim and small, because their eyes, the light absorbs into the black, which makes it that the object looks smaller, more sleek. Color reflects the personality of an individual. Like I said, we all have our favorite colors. And when people know our favorite color, then that becomes a part of our persona. And they come to know us by that color. And then if they're thinking about getting us a gift or something, they would generally tend to buy something in a color that they know that you love. It's associated with psychological traits and emotions. And I'm going to go over some colors and connect what emotions and psychological things are connected to those colors. We know color as an individual thing, but the combination of colors also create visually aesthetic looks with clothing, accessories, interior design, and a lot of other things. So I'm going to go over color schemes that are basic to the use of fashion design, interior design for graphic designers, and so on, any industry that uses color. Now, I'm going to start with primary colors. These are colors that are introduced to babies, and also are the first colors that children learn when they're in school. You see it a lot in their children's toys, in anything that has to do with babies and children, or even classrooms, you'll see primary colors. So primary colors are the three basic colors that all color comes from. okay, besides white and black. And your primary color scheme is red, yellow, and blue. And if you notice on a, if you have a color wheel, you'll see that the red, yellow, and blue are in a triad, in a triangle on the color wheel. So if you were to look at a color wheel that generally consists of 12 colors, the color wheel has 12 colors, and you'll see red, yellow, and blue, and they are equally distanced from each other on the color wheel, which makes them a triadic color scheme. And those colors, when you combine them, create other colors. So our first color scheme is primary colors. The next color scheme is secondary colors. And secondary colors come from mixing the two of the primary colors. We have red and blue makes purple. Yellow and blue makes green. Yellow and red makes orange. So those colors that are made from two primary colors being put together are secondary colors. And so the primary colors are only those three colors, red, yellow, and blue. And your secondary colors are only those three colors, orange, green, and purple. The next color scheme is tertiary. And this comes from mixing a primary color with a secondary color. After you've gone through your first, your primary colors, your secondary colors, and you've created your tertiary colors, if you're looking at your color wheel, again, it has 12 colors on it, you can have a triadic color scheme that is not just primary. If you look at your color wheel and you've created the secondary colors, those secondary colors are triadic on the color wheel as well. And then if you shift over to the color that's next to the secondary color, those colors are triadic on the color wheel as well. So a triadic color scheme consists of three colors that are equally distant from one another on the color wheel. I hope that doesn't confuse you. Okay, so we had our primary, our secondary, then we had a tertiary, and we had our triadic. And so those are four color schemes so far. And then you have your complementary color scheme. And complementary means that they are directly two colors that are directly across from one another on the color wheel. So on your color wheel, you will have orange is directly across from blue. Those are complementary colors. And a lot of teams, athletic teams, or even school colors will be in complementary colors because they look good together. You also find that you have your yellow and your purple. Think of some schools that you may know of, college-wise or even high school, that have the yellow and purple color scheme. I can think of quite a few of them. So complementary colors look good together, and that's why you'll see that combination in a lot of athletic teams, in clothing, in print that you see for textiles. That's why you'll see complementary colors, triadic colors, and then the next one I'm going to talk about is analogous. And you may not even be aware of this. You just may see a combination of colors that look really good together, and you don't really know why. They just flow really well together. So analogous is when there are three colors on the color wheel that are used in a scheme. So you have your purple, your blue, and then you have your like a violet blue. That's, some people may think of that as monochromatic, but we'll talk about monochromatic in a minute. So you could also have your purple, your red, red, violet, and red. Those look good together. So it's at least three colors on the color wheel that are right next to each other, and they're used in design in whatever way that particular industry chooses to use them. Those are your analogous colors. Next, we're going to have our split complementary. Let's go back to using your complementary colors, because your complementary are right across from one another on the color wheel. So let's say we're using orange and blue. Orange is going to be our top color, and then the blue is going to be our bottom color on the color wheel, just like this. All right. And so look at the two colors that are next to the blue on either side of the blue. So you would take that orange color, you would use each of the colors that are on each side of the blue to create that little split. That's why it's called split, because it's each color on each side of the color that's across from your complementary color. And that's called a split complementary. And those colors look very attractive together because they're using a piece of the complementary color to add to the color scheme. I hope that makes sense. Look at complementary colors across from one another on the color wheel and take the color on each side of that complementary color. And that's called your split complementary. And you can actually do that on both ends, and that will be a double split complementary. And so that's why what a lot of textile makers look at when they're looking at color schemes to make for designs, floral prints, circles, squares, the fibers that are woven together or dyed onto fabric, they'll look at those different color schemes to determine what they want to make that would make a very visually pleasing look on that fabric. Now, I'm almost done with the color schemes. The second to the last color scheme is going to be monochromatic. Monochromatic means taking one color and using all the hues, values, and tones of that color in a scheme. Let's take your red. So you're starting off with a primary color, red. And as you add white to that red, the color gets lighter and lighter and lighter. It'll go from a red to maybe a fuchsia to maybe a hot pink to maybe a pink to a light pink until it gets down to a very faint pink, almost white color. Opposite of that would be putting black in the color to make it more towards maroon. But that whole color scheme of colors make that a monochromatic color scheme because it's within the red family. And it's going from one end light to dark in that red color scheme. So that's monochromatic. And you'll see that in a lot of different trends and things that people are wearing. Because wearing monochromatic colors can make you look more slim. It can make you look more taller. So people use monochromatic scheme coloring for various things. The last thing is accented neutrals. So your neutrals are your white, black, grays, and beige. And then the accent, so it's like wearing a monochromatic color and adding a pop of color. Let's say you have them black and you're going to add a bright yellow flower, bright yellow belt, or something like that. That's a pop of color. We call that an accented neutral. So it brings the neutral, makes the neutral more vibrant, the color scheme more vibrant, because you've added a pop of color to a neutral palette. So those are your eight color schemes. You have, again, triad for primary coloring, and then triadic for the other three colors that you choose on the color wheel. Secondary, which are the colors that are made from adding two primary colors together. Tertiary, which are made from adding a primary and a secondary color together. And then your analogous, three colors next to each other on the color wheel. Complementary, two colors that are opposite each other on the color wheel. Split complementary, two colors opposite each other, but taking one of those colors and using the colors on each side of it. And I'll just add double split complementary to that. They're together because you do that on either side, take the colors on either side of the complementary color and use those as a color scheme. Monochromatic, one color family from light to dark, and accent and neutrals, your neutral colors, beige, black, white, gray, with an accent pop of color added to it. Now, the last thing we're going to cover with regard to color is the psychology of color. So I'm going to just take some the basic colors, and we're going to talk about what the normal psychology is of those colors. All right, so red. Red is known to be exciting and passionate and sometimes aggressive. I mean, if you receive a text message that has those two red exclamation points on it, that seems kind of aggressive, or, you know, someone's really trying to make a point, right? But you know that red is connected to passion because Valentine's Day, right? Everything's red on Valentine's Day. And if someone puts on a red lipstick, that is kind of passionate. It really stands out, and it puts a certain thought in someone's mind when they see a young lady with that red lipstick on or that red dress. So those are, that color, it just brings passion, excitement, and aggression. The next color is orange. Orange is earthy. Think about the sun. It's warm, and it also gives like off some hopefulness. So that's orange. Yellow is cheerful. It's sunny, and it's also considered kind of to be a cowardly color. That's very interesting to me. The sunny and the cheerful part, I definitely can see. It's a color that is suggested for a baby's room because of the calmness that it does give and the cheerfulness that it does give off to the child. Also, if you didn't know this in your studying, it is said that yellow legal pads are the best paper to take notes on because it helps with your memory. I don't know the science behind that. That's just what I've been told, and it seems to work. All right, moving on. Green. Green is a restful color. Green also could be tied to envy and also fresh. Now, we all know green as meaning money, right? Okay, but as far as psychology, how it helps your mind and your brain, it's cheerful. It's restful, it's envious, and it is fresh. Blue has to do with calm. And we all know blue is a calming color. Think of the ocean, the waves, and things of that nature. So it's calming. It's an indication of cool. But it also is associated with depression. I'm not quite sure about that one, but I guess because of a calm state of mind. I don't know all the science behind all this, but just from what I've gathered, it is associated with depression or depressed. Next is purple. Now, purple is rich, royal. Those are the things that I associate purple with, but purple is also associated with drama. White is associated with innocence, purity, and peacefulness. And we see that. Wave the white flag because you're surrendering. You want to have peace, innocence. Wear a white dress on your wedding day because you're pure. And then whenever we talk about purity with girls and all that kind of stuff, we're always talking about white. Black is associated with sophistication, mysteriousness, and also gloominess. Gray is a color that in the past, I believe this is more so than it is today, but is associated with old things, sad, and modesty. Gray is the new black these days. So gray is like that sophisticated color, and you'll see it in a lot of color schemes, especially interior, but also in fashion. So those are all the colors that I'm talking about today and the psychology of those colors. Now you go online, you may read a whole bunch of things because so many studies have been done to look up all of these kind of things. And you'll probably see some other psychological things that are associated to some of these colors as well. But that's just a general idea of the psychology of colors. So this concludes my overview of color, the element of design, color. And next week we'll pick back up with the elements of design and we'll be talking about shape. So come on back into the room where we will continue our discussion on the elements of design. I thank you for listening to Marketing Adventure with Jackie, and I hope you have a wonderfully blessed day. Thanks for listening to Marketing Adventure. Remember to subscribe, rate, review, and share this episode with someone you think would benefit from the information shared here today. If you have any questions or want to connect with me, find me on Instagram at Marketing Adventure. All links and resources discussed in this episode can be found in the show notes at marketingadventure.com.